Welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live every Tuesday at noon on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Yes, we added a couple different on there for you. Today, we're talking about the current state of housing industry, new home construction, building trends, and the latest market forecast. Joining us is Rick Waja, CEO of Indiana Builders Association. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss this.
Rick Waja is the CEO for the Indiana Builders Association, a trade association representing over 2,600 member companies across the state. The Indiana Builders Association is the state affiliate of the National Association of Home Builders based in Washington, D.C. Rick joined the Indiana Builders Association for the second time in 2005, and as the IBA's chief lobbyist, Rick works with members of Indiana General Assembly and Indiana's regulatory agencies to ensure housing affordability is taken into consideration when policymakers craft laws and regulations for Indiana citizens. Rick is also the chairman of the Indiana Builders PAC and serves as a spokesperson for the industry on housing-related issues. He's a past president of the Governmental Affairs Society of Indiana. He served several terms on the board of Habitat for Humanity of Indiana and currently serves on the board for the St. Mary's Child Center in Indianapolis. That was a lot, and I'm sure there's probably more we haven't even talked about. Let's welcome Rick to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Hey, we're happy to have you on here. It's always nice to have somebody that can talk about things going on within our industry at a high level. And I think you're the man for that.
Well, appreciate the offer to be here and look forward to chatting with you guys about, what we're seeing in some interesting times in the housing industry right now.
Right, exactly. So it's the same thing. You've been in this for a while, Rick. So, that's good that you've been in Indiana and helping the association for so long with it. So just give us a little rundown maybe of what you're seeing statewide as maybe current housing industry statewide for us.
Sure. I mentioned, right, we're in a different time frame than even a year ago, as we were coming out of a pandemic and dealing with COVID and a lot of money flowing down to state and local governments because of the pandemic, and a lot of people that were sheltered in place for the better part of 2 years. And, 2021 was a very strong year in terms of new home construction. And, 2022 has been good thus far. The first 8 months were down about 9% from 2021. But, all things considered, the market's still moving along pretty well. I tend to say that we can almost throw out 2021 as an example because things were so unique at that point. And as you guys know, in your business, right, mortgage rates were below 3%, and we hadn't seen that in a long time, or if ever. So a lot of folks that were on the fence were taking advantage of that, and now we're probably back to a little bit of a more normal pace in terms of new home construction.
Right. But it's still, like you said, the 9% maybe overall, but we don't really see it up in our area. We're still seeing stuff going in, new lots and stuff like that. So it's still good that that's happening.
Absolutely. And, if I throw out 2021, the 2022 permit numbers for the first 6 months are ahead of 18, are ahead of 19, are ahead of 20. And if you talk to most contractors across the state of Indiana, if they said they could be doing better than any of those years, they'd be pretty happy right now. Right. So we almost got to not use 21 as the barometer and kind of look at where we've been over the last 5 to 6 years, and things are, there's still a lot of demand for housing. Certainly in Indiana, we're doing a lot of great things in terms of bringing jobs to the state to keep that demand high.
What are some surprise there? Give us an example of some areas across Indiana that we might not think about having new construction growth. And
sure. A couple areas, right? Obviously, central Indiana remains strong, right? We're continuing to see job growth in that area. And so, You think Indianapolis, the donut counties, but even then stretching further out to that next layer is where you're starting to see some real growth opportunities. And then you also see the, up in Northeast Indiana, the Fort Wayne area has routinely been mentioned as one of the great places to live across the country in terms of low cost of living and affordable housing. And also Northwest Indiana, you know, the Chicagoland area, you're seeing a huge exodus of residents from the state of Illinois into Northwest Indiana. And so, you know, the growth has been good there. And also down Southern Indiana in the Louisville metro area, right? Kentucky is and Louisville metro area has had some challenges. And I think with the new bridge coming across on the east part of Louisville has really opened up some areas in that River Ridge area for housing and development, and we'll continue to see that long term.
Wow. And like, for example, up near the Chicago area, are we talking about areas that were fields where we're putting in housing additions, or are we talking about redoing some stuff? I mean, are there sections where they're taking down old homes and building new neighborhoods?
Yeah, I would say both. You know, Indiana funded the double tracking of the South Shore Railroad up in northern Indiana, which is going to allow some access into the city of Chicago at a much easier commute with the double tracking of the South Shore Railroad. So that's going to open up some areas that for redevelopment and some more infill development closer to those train stations. For folks that, you know, maybe have to commute into the city of Chicago, but also down in Southern Lake County, your more traditional subdivision development, that growth is just pushed further down. You know, we were fortunate enough to get I-65 up to six lanes up in Lake County there. And so that has eased that commute for folks that maybe are working in the city but want to live over in Indiana. And so, you know, not much different traveling from Lake County than if you were traveling to the west or northwest suburbs of Chicago. You just get lower taxes and a lower cost of living here in Indiana.
Right, which is a huge benefit, especially if they're that close, like you said, to that other area. Take advantage of working there if you need to, and then the advantage of being in the Hoosier state.
Right. And I'll tell you, I think that trend's going to continue. Read a report from the Kansas City Fed that talked about major metropolitan areas over the next decade are poised to really have a strong housing market because we never got back up to par from the last housing downturn in terms of meeting demand. And so even though we're in a little blip right now, certainly in major metropolitan areas, there's still a lot of demand. And as work patterns have shifted to, you know, some folks working fully remote, some people having a hybrid model, maybe only having to go into the office 3 days a week or 4 days a week, they're willing to push their commute a little further out into those areas that maybe were thought of as too far from the employment center in the past. People are now willing to drive an extra 10, 20, 30 minutes if they know they only have to do it 3 days a week or 4 days a week.
Yeah. Huge. That was another big change. Like you said, with everything that happened through the pandemic, that was something that has changed some of that stuff. We've seen it in some of our other office locations in some of the bigger areas in California, that some of those people that are now remote all the time don't have to live there. They can choose to live someplace else. So makes the flexibility a lot better for affordable housing.
Absolutely. And you look at, right, certainly here in central Indiana is a prime example. I think areas such as Howard County, Northern Hamilton County, those are areas that are poised for a lot of growth because if somebody's working in downtown Indianapolis, right, the 31 corridor has certainly become a lot more easier to drive on. And also then you start to look at the growth of suburbs such as Carmel, Westfield, Noblesville, Fishers. They're bringing a lot of jobs into those communities, which has then opened up areas, right, for more housing further north. And so I think, you know, long-term prospects are good because we're doing things right here in Indiana, frankly.
Yeah, it's moving like that. We've got a couple of our kids down in that Indianapolis, Noblesville area, and even coming down into Cicero. It's starting to move up that way with some of these bigger housing additions because of land space down around Indianapolis. But still, like you said, the commutes nowadays are much easier the way they're starting to do the 31 with putting in the roundabouts and no lights, and you can make it back and forth much quicker.
Yep. Still the challenge is going to be, and we're looking at this from a legislative standpoint as well, is infrastructure, right? A huge cost to housing is how do you get sewer and how do you get water out to the project or to the subdivision? And historically, you know, since World War II, the building and development community has funded those infrastructure costs and upfront, and ultimately had to pass those on to the cost to the home buyer in a mortgage, right? And pre-World War II, local units of government were in the business of kind of providing that infrastructure. And as good as we're doing things here in Indiana, we still have our challenges, just like many places across the country do, is how do we provide safe, affordable workforce housing for Hoosiers that want to become a new home buyer? And that challenge continues to persist with market challenges, with lack of inventory, with the cost of labor, the cost of materials, a longer construction process. And so, you know, from an association standpoint, we're trying to do everything we can to how do we minimize those impacts to the potential new home buyer?
Right. Did you get some of that, like even for, you know, regulatory issues and stuff like that? Is that some of the stuff down at the State House that you guys are so involved with that you can help try to manage that from an aspect of being down there and being able to see what's going on in each of those different counties throughout the state? That helps quite a bit, doesn't it?
Right. Absolutely. We know from our national association, their economics department pins the average cost of regulations for a new home build is roughly 24%. And so I like to say that's no sticks and that's no bricks. That's just simply government bureaucracy, red tape, cost of regulations at the local, state, and federal level that add to the cost of housing. And we know in Indiana, the average cost of a new home is at the beginning of the year was about $370,000. And so if for every $1,000 increase in the cost of a house, about 3,200 Hoosier households are priced out of the market, right? You guys know in your business, everybody likes to know what's the most they can qualify for, right? And then they go look for a house. And typically, if they qualify for a $350,000 mortgage, they're probably looking in that 325 to 350 range, right?
And, or above.
Or above. Yeah. And so we're real cognizant of trying to make sure that we keep the cost of regulations as low as possible so that barrier to entry is not too burdensome for Hoosier homebuyers.
Nice. So let's talk about some of the trends. And I know you gave us some bullet points of things to cover today, but when you say trends, I don't know if you met trends within like maybe some of the laws or trends in actual building and construction.
Sure. I think, right, the market is constantly evolving, and what the home buyer 30, 40 years ago wanted to compare to what they want today is completely different, right? And that's the challenge that our membership, our builders, our remodelers, our developers have to get a feel for, you know, what the potential new home buyer wants and try to deliver that product. And when we try to deliver that product, we have to work with the local government to make sure that the local regulations in place allow for some of those trends to develop. You know, the buyer today, the young buyer, millennials, you know, by and large are not as interested in that huge lot out in the suburbs where they've got to take care of a half acre of grass every week. They're, you know, and there's still some buyers that want that, right? But what we're finding out is they prefer to have a smaller lot with less maintenance and less upkeep. They may not be as interested in the exterior look of the house in terms of all brick or expensive exterior cladding, because they may want some more features on the inside, right? We talked about remote work and hybrid work options earlier. So a home office has become, right, more critical to young buyers moving forward, because they realize that they may be spending more time in their house working than maybe they did 5-10 years ago.
That makes total sense. Quick little side story, Rick. My wife and I lived in our previous home for 18 years, and we bought a home at the end of 2019 before the pandemic, and it had a big home office. And I joke, and I'm like, who the heck needs a home office, right? And we walled it in, and we expanded our walk-in closet, and then like 5 months later, I'm working from home for 2 years straight.
Right to the dining room table.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I still crack up that we did it. You know, my wife will tell you it was worth it. She's got the closet she wanted, but
there you go. Right. But who would have known, right? Going into the pandemic, nobody could have, you know, foreseen what this was happening. I mean, if you look at the major metropolitan areas, right, apartment building was booming in every downtown core. You know, empty nesters were selling the houses in the suburbs and wanting to move into the cities. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody put the brakes on that. And now there's still a segment of the population that's going to want that moving forward. But right, I think that live work dynamic is certainly changed. And, you know, who knows what the buyer 5 years from now is going to want, or 10 years from now is going to want. And so we're constantly trying to adapt to build the product that we think the folks are going to want to enjoy in terms of amenities in their house.
Right. It's like that when you were talking about that earlier, we noticed the same thing with a lot of our younger millennial buyers they're not worried about the lot space. Like, you know, do I have a quarter acre or a half acre? It doesn't matter to them. They're looking more, like you said, at the amenities that they've got, because that's what I think they look at now, is like where they're going to live at and what they can get out of where they live at, inside and outside of a property.
Right. They want access to, right, a park or restaurants or shops that maybe they can walk to or ride a bike to. And, you know, that's not everybody, right? You know, certainly here in Indiana, we're fortunate that, you know, we're used to hopping in our car and driving somewhere to go to a restaurant or the grocery store. And we've got a lot of land at our disposal. But some new buyers are more interested in a more compact development. Not unlike you would see on the coast, right? And that has taken hold in certain areas.
Right.
Hey, can you give us just a quick little run through of like your association, like what you guys do, what your involvement looks like as far as representing the, you know, builders and the things that the laws that could be passed that would hurt us, right? How you're involved to make sure that things are going the way we want them to go.
Sure. You know, the Indiana Builder Association, as we talked about earlier, we're affiliated with the National Association of Home Builders, and we represent 21 local associations across the state. You know, about a third of our membership is builders, remodelers, developers, but two-thirds of those are suppliers to the residential, light commercial construction industry. So, you know, we try to take the interest of all of our members, whether they're trade partners or subcontractors or professional service providers, but the builder as well. And we look at every issue that comes in front of the Indiana General Assembly or is winding its way through Congress. And we look at it through the lens of how do we keep housing safe, but also affordable to that young professional just out of school or just starting their career. You know, our service industry, our government workers, our police officers, our firefighters, our teachers, how do we provide an opportunity for them to become a homeowner if that's the path that they want to go down? And so when we're advocating on behalf of our membership at the legislative level, and that's the primary goal focus of the organization at the state level, is advocacy for the industry. We're really advocating for Hoosier home buyers before maybe they even know that they want to be a home buyer at some point. Do we want to sell more houses? Absolutely, right? Our members are in the business of making a living and providing, a living for their families and their employees. And we don't shy away from that fact. But, you know, typically when the cost of a house is higher, the profit margin is higher, right? And we're advocating on the other end saying we want to keep the cost and that barrier to entry as low as possible, because we think that Hoosiers have the, you know, should have the opportunity to become home buyers if that's the path they want to go down. And we're going to fight every day to try to keep that cost of regulations, the cost of laws, at a minimum, so Hoosiers can enjoy that opportunity.
Well said. It's been, I've had the honor to be able to be down around you when you've been in the state house and working down there with my local involvement with our local HBA. And it's amazing to see everything that happens and the connections that you have and Carly has down there with being able to see people, talk to people, and try to head stuff off before it's the 11th hour when something's blown up in it, because you guys are so involved with everything you do with it.
Yeah, I can remember. Yeah, and we appreciate that, right? We're a member-driven organization, so it takes leaders like yourself and others all across the state to provide, right, us as staff that feedback, that guidance on what are the problems, what are the challenges, you know, you and your businesses are seeing every day, so that we can convey that message to the legislators and try to get some, you know, some resolution to the challenges that we see. You know, a great example is, you know, back in 1952, the organization was created, and it was created because builders and our suppliers back in the 50s said, government's looking at our businesses and they're passing laws that may impact the housing industry, but we don't have time to drive down to Indianapolis every day to talk with our legislator and ask them to vote yes or no on an issue. And so that was really how the association was created. And, you know, Indiana has historically been one of the most affordable housing states in the country. Kokomo routinely in the metropolitan area around Kokomo and Howard County, you know, was a lot of times the most affordable place to own a home compared to the median income there. And none of that happens by accident, right? It happens because we have a strong association, but more so we have members that understand the importance of being involved in their community and having relationships with their local elected officials and not being afraid to pick up the phone and calling them or emailing them or hitting them up on social media to tell them, you know, hey, here, we need some help out here. And by and large, you know, over the long term, our elected officials here in Indiana have understood the importance of the home building industry and how do we help, you know, how do they help it grow? And how do we help Indiana grow, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're not growing, right, we all know you're dying. And we want to make sure we're taking all the jobs from all the other states in the Midwest, and we're convincing people to move from Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan to the great state of Indiana. And, you know, we'll take them however we can get them.
Amen to that. Yeah, we get into that. So, Rick, you got anything else? I know we covered a lot of stuff topic wise. I think we went through some of those bullet points on it. We appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule. We know you're super busy with what you're doing. So thanks so much for that. So before we say goodbye to Rick, if you like this, just hit like, share it, comment on it. If anything pops up on it, Carrie will make sure we get the information back over to Rick. And thanks again for taking some time with us.
Hey, Greg. Appreciate it, guys. Ryan, Steve, it's always a pleasure, and happy to jump back on with you anytime in the future.
We appreciate it, Rick. Thanks again. All right, so next week, we're going to be talking with realtors from the Wyman Group, Lindsay Owsley and Chanel Cahill. We're discussing first-time home buyers, common misconceptions, challenges in buying that first home, and tons of tips to help you along the way. Mark your calendars. You don't want to miss this one. See you next week.